Hey, Liz.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry, but I started thinking that perhaps we should, you know, have our stupidness at the beginning like we normally do. But now we have it.
Yep.
So let's start.
Okay. Hey, Liz.
Hey, Lena.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everyone out there.
How are you doing, Liz?
I'm doing pretty good. I had a really good day at work today. Actually, I've had a really good week at work. I just love being with my students. And I'm having like the yearly conversation, like a meeting with parents and students right now. So that's fun. And then like my other classes, like the other students are really good. So I've really been enjoying work this week.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I just booked a life coaching time for Friday.
Oh, yeah. Yay.
So that is fun and like makes me really excited. I have gotten into some kind of groove with my like blogging right now. So that feels really good. So all in all, I'm feeling good. Been sleeping good too.
It sounds like you're on the roll with things.
I am right now. It feels pretty productive. And the thing is, I'm not doing all of these like major plans. I'm just letting things roll, you know? Uh-huh. It's really hard to explain, but it feels good. So,
good.
Yeah. How are you, Lena?
It's been a crappy week.
Yeah.
But I just feel like so boring and it's so sad to like talk about it when you're not feeling good. And I don't really feel like digging into everything, but it's just not that great right now.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to really worry about. It's just a lot in my head.
Yeah. You're just going through a lot, right?
Yes.
Like thinking through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I believe there are some big changes in my life, which is really good and awesome, but it sucks to go through this process, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. It is like, it's just really tough to make changes.
Can only be better or get better.
Yeah, totally. And you just keep doing what you do.
Yeah.
And you keep working through it, which I think is amazing.
Mm-hmm. So, let's move on.
Yeah, let's do that. On to challenges.
Yes. What was your challenge, Liz? It was a few weeks ago now.
Yeah, it was. And you would think that I would have done better in my challenge than I have. But my challenge was to complete my book, reading my book, The Dharma Bums,
mm-hmm.
by Jack Kerouac. I have read quite a bit more of it, actually, but I haven't completed it yet. But I'm very close. I'm still plugging through, but I picked up another book in the meantime and started reading it as well. So I'm still simultaneously reading multiple books.
Well, I think that it is totally fine that you didn't like complete your challenge, because
right.
to not put pressure on mm-hmm. yourself and be hard on yourself.
Right.
And I feel like sometimes it feels like our challenges have turned into some sort of like, okay, so let's see, how did our homework go?
Right.
And then we feel perhaps a tiny bit bad if we haven't succeeded,
mm-hmm.
because we put it, even though we don't want to put it in that category of like you have to succeed and do it and be good, or otherwise mm-hmm. you're not as good.
Right.
So I think it is time for us. I need to talk about my challenge too, of course, but I think it's time for us to move away a little bit from that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But more about that later.
Exactly. So what was your challenge these past few weeks, Lena?
My challenge was to do things in the opposite way of what I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of a homework from treatment. And I've done quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
If I look back to that week when we did the recording of the podcast, I can definitely do more. Mm-hmm. And this is an ongoing process.
Right.
So I've done some. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I could perhaps have done it more.
Right.
But yeah.
So this thing with challenges and moving away from it and mm-hmm. moving on to something else, I agree completely, Lena, with what you're saying. And for me, instead of having like the pressure, I want a challenge, and I think I've tried to do this with challenges, but I still have that guilt as well. I want the challenge to make me more mindful, more aware. So when it's thinking about a book, you know, reading mm-hmm. a book, I don't want the challenge to be, I'm going to finish this book, be done with it in a week. I want it to help challenge me or make me more aware of reading so that I don't just sit and watch Netflix every night, or I don't just do this, but that I remember I love reading mm-hmm. and I pick up a book. In that sense, we have let the challenges become a little bit more of a focus on have we done the right thing, as you say.
I would love to have more connection to our listeners.
Yes.
But I don't want to put like that kind of pressure that you need to have a challenge or whatever
right.
for yourself. So I feel like I want to be more of an inspiration
mm-hmm.
or have to say like more inspiration minded or mm-hmm. focused. So I think, and we actually discussed this a little bit before,
right.
that instead of challenges, why don't we every week, perhaps not this podcast because it's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back to that later. But that we share something. It can be either a tip or have a question for mm-hmm. our listeners. Like, have you ever been to this place? Mm-hmm. Do you have any good tips?
Exactly.
So it can be more a dialogue between us and listeners.
Yeah, I think that sounds so much fun. I'm really excited that we've decided to do this, you know?
Yeah.
And offer tips, thoughts, or whatever. It's kind of like the tip or the thought of the week or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like sharing time.
Or you can share a quote or...
Right.
Whatever.
Exactly. Whatever, in a sense, kind of sticks with us from the past week or inspires
yeah.
us if we've run across something. So that's what we want to do, you guys, is share some of those things with you. And as Lena said, we're going to start that with the next podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But for this podcast, we have something special going on.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we actually recorded the rest of what you're getting ready to hear. And the reason we did it yesterday is because we invited someone to be a guest.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's explained in the podcast.
Yeah, we should just
yeah.
get on with that recording.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. I guess I can introduce myself.
Do it.
I started
yeah.
talking. So, I'm a friend of Liz and Lina's. I work at the same school as Liz. I'm here to talk a little bit about stuff I do.
Because the stuff that he does is inspiring to us.
Yeah. And now we're not only talking about that you're working at the same school as Liz, but you have other things beside that job that mm-hmm. you're doing. Can you tell us a little bit, what do you do?
Yeah, I do a lot of stuff, actually. Like, I work as a teacher, for one thing, and that's at the school. And there we have a program called, like, Nature and Adventure Program for people who want to be some sort of guides, I guess. And that's where I work. Beside that, I run my own company, and I do a few different things. Mostly, I would say I do photography, and I also work as a close-up magician, and I'm about to start something new, a third thing. Me and a friend is about to start our own company, doing guided tours in the Swedish mountains.
That is cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Andreas is, like, super busy.
Yeah.
All the time.
And I'm so glad that we managed to get this time to meet up.
It was important to have it this week, too, but we'll get to that later on.
Yeah.
There are things that you and I, Lena, love, but we do it mostly as a hobby. At least my picture of Andreas is they're all kind of, like, combined together.
Yeah, in some way, I guess you could say that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My interest in photography started with me traveling, and my interest in close-up magic made me go travel to different places.
Ah. Oh, I was wondering how
yeah.
to get the magic in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, in a way, it's all connected.
Have you always been interested in nature, photography, close-up magic?
Mm-hmm.
No, I think when I grew up, I started to be more and more interested in being outdoors. All the other stuff came later. I think my interest in the outdoors was the first big passion in my life. And I did a lot of hiking and stuff when I was younger. And the magic thing didn't happen until 2007, I think. Yeah, so back then I was doing martial arts and I got injured. So I couldn't do any training. So I, by chance, found magic. And realized that, wow, this is my next passion.
Cool.
That must have been pretty cool to realize that this is what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
I find that really inspiring, and I hope for myself to find something like that. Because I think that when you're a kid, at least it was for me, I was trying all different kind of activities. Tried to find like what was the things that I wanted to focus on. To be able to find a new hobby as an adult, I find that really cool and inspiring. You have to put yourself out there. Like, how did you end up? Like, did you see a magician? Or how?
Yeah, I think it all started with a friend of mine sending me a YouTube video of a guy doing a card trick. And I was like, blown away. Uh-huh. And I couldn't sleep for 2 days, you know. I had to find out how it was done, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna find out how this is done. Mm-hmm. And then I'm gonna learn it, and it's gonna be a fun thing to know a cool party trick. And that's how it all started. Mm-hmm. And it took me a while to find out how it was done. I read some books and watched some instruction videos, and finally, I found out how it was done, and I started practicing it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, after practicing it for 1 hour, I was like, no, this is impossible. It was crazy difficult.
Oh my gosh.
So I scrapped that, and instead I started practicing some easier stuff that I found out along the way. And I learned a few card tricks, and I was like, it would be cool to, you know, be able to do a coin magic trick or something. Mm-hmm. So I started practicing a few of those, and one thing led to another, and I found out that in other parts of the world there's actually something called restaurant magicians. Mm-hmm. So especially in the US, I guess there's a lot of magicians that walk around from table to table in restaurants and entertain guests by doing table magic. So I was like, this is really cool, I can do this. This was in the fall of 2008. And I decided that in the fall of 2009, I'm going to take some time off from my work. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to travel to Thailand, and I'm going to do restaurant magic in all the bars and restaurants.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so cool. But yeah. You're a person, I think, it seems to me, that is very goal-oriented.
Yes.
So you did go to Thailand?
Yeah. 1 year in advance, I told my boss, in 1 year, I'm going to need some time off work. Is that cool? And he was like, okay. And I started thinking about the trip, and I was going to spend 1 month in Thailand. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that while flying to Thailand, I'm going to pass Nepal. Uh-huh. And I always wanted to go hiking in Nepal, uh-huh, in the Himalayas. So I was like, maybe I should stop there first. I planned for being in Nepal for a month, and then Thailand 1 month, and then I was like, since I'm in Thailand, it's not very far to...
I love this.
So I was like, it's not very far to Australia, which it is. It's another 12 hours.
But I mean, same side of the world.
More or less, yeah, you know. And while thinking about being in Australia, I was like, It's just across the pond to New Zealand. I always wanted to go to New Zealand. So I planned to go to New Zealand, and then I was like, all right, maybe I need some vacation at the end of this trip.
Maybe you need vacation.
Yeah, and Fiji is pretty close to New Zealand. So yeah, I planned to end my trip in Fiji. So that's the whole trip.
Wow.
So how long were you gone in total then?
3.5 months. I stayed almost 1 month in Nepal, about 4 weeks in Thailand. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the time spent in Australia. I think it was 1 week in Australia, and 3 weeks in New Zealand, and the rest of the time in Fiji, I think. Yeah.
And you went by yourself?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Silence. cool. And just to explain for listeners who are not from Sweden, mm-hmm. because in Sweden we have, I think it is the right, like by law, that right. you can apply to take time off from work. Of course, you don't get paid, but you're guaranteed that you will have your job back once you're back. Mm-hmm. My question is then, how was it in Thailand? Did you do magic then at restaurants? And how was that?
Yes, I did. And it was pretty cool experience. It was... I didn't do it the whole 4 weeks I was there, but for a few weeks at least. And it was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. I met a lot of nice people. And I just went to all the bars and restaurants and did magic. And at the end of the night, they gave me some food and a beer. And that's it, you know? And yeah, I met a lot of nice people. And... it was a great chance to be better at magic, mm-hmm. to evolve that side.
Did you know which restaurants you were going to beforehand? You pretty much went there and then saw a restaurant and asked the owner or the manager.
Yeah, more or less.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hey, I can do magic tricks. Is it okay if I walk around to
yeah.
tables and do that? That's
yeah.
cool.
And you know, you do get some tip from the tourist.
Mm-hmm.
And in some places I just went in and started doing magic, and someone from the staff came up and asked me what I was doing, and I was like, "Oh, didn't your boss tell you?"
I told no.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
And they were like, "Oh, okay."
Oh my god.
Worked fine.
Oh my god, that's good.
Yeah.
So after this long trip became one spontaneous decision after another, what was it like to come back to Sweden, and how had that changed things for you, like your perspective and what you wanted?
Yeah, it was very difficult coming back to work. I at the time I was working as a PE teacher,
mm-hmm.
And it was very difficult coming back to work. When you've been traveling for a while, you see a lot of places and you
yeah.
want to travel even more.
Mm-hmm.
This was the first time I was traveling by myself, and I hadn't been traveling at all. I'd been
mm-hmm.
to Thailand maybe once or twice before. Other than that, I hadn't seen very much. So I had a very strong urge of wanting to traveling more.
Yeah.
So I worked the next semester, and then I quit. I started working at the job I have now.
Okay. Did you start at the school where we work?
Yes, okay. I did work both as a PE teacher and with the guide
mm-hmm.
things at our school.
Okay.
When I started working, I did that for maybe a year
mm-hmm.
Before I did only the nature and adventure stuff.
So since then, you've done a few more trips,
mm-hmm.
and some shorter, some longer, but I've heard the statistic of how many countries you have now visited.
Mm-hmm.
How many is that?
It's 53.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I'm very lucky to be able to travel the way I do.
Uh-huh.
I really appreciate it.
But you make it a priority. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
You're the one who does that.
Yeah, that's right.
And you
yeah.
work for it.
Yeah, it doesn't happen by itself, that's right. I would say it's one of my biggest hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
Other people spend money on, you know, I don't know, cars and clothes and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I spend money on travel.
Let's talk about your latest trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you just had to do this whole leave of absence thing again.
That's right.
Recently. Where did you go, and how long were you gone? And when did you make this trip?
Last fall, in the fall of 2016, I took a leave of absence 3 months,
mm-hmm.
and I went to Africa. And it was something I had planned for well over 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it's called an overlanding expedition, where you have like a big 4x4
mm-hmm.
expedition equipped jeep.
Mm-hmm.
And you go on the smallest roads out in the bush and camp.
Where in Africa did you go?
I did this trip. It was organized by a great company called 4x4 Expedition.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Swedish company. It's run by a couple who have done this kinds of trip for a very long time. What you practically do is that you rent a place in the car.
Mm-hmm.
So you rent a seat in the car. The two guys who run this, they aren't guides. They do a lot of planning, of course. We started out in Cape Town, and we drove all the way up to Malawi through a few of the countries on the way. And once we got to Malawi, almost every passenger went back to Sweden, and a new crew came from Sweden and joined us and took the places of the other guys. So it was only me and one other guy who stayed the entire trip from Cape Town to Malawi and then back to Cape Town on a different route.
Wow.
So all in all, I think we did 11 or 12 countries.
That is covering a lot of, I mean, Africa's huge, but that's still covering quite a bit of Africa, like that southern...
Yeah, more or less the whole southern part of Africa, While we stayed in Malawi, where the switch between the crews happened, me and the guy who was staying, we took a vacation and left for Zanzibar. It's a beautiful island off the coast of Tanzania. Yeah. The Indian Ocean. So we went there for a week and did some scuba diving.
Cool.
That was awesome, And then we came back to the cars and met the new crew and we started the journey again.
I just have to say, I love the vacation from a vacation.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, it's very important.
I love it.
You traveled in various countries in Africa in camp. I bet you saw so many different things, landscape-wise, villages, and did you get to meet, like, a lot of the natives?
Since we drove our own cars, we could basically go where we wanted to, and we followed the smallest roads possible, and nothing was really decided from the beginning where to go. All we had was, like, in 5 days we have to be approximately at this location. And what happens in between is up to us. So when we passed small villages, we were like, yeah, why don't we stay here? So we just pulled over and went out, talked to people. Very nice. And this way we got to visit places where I would guess not many tourists ever get to visit.
Right.
It's like driving in a 4x4 for a few days in the middle of nowhere. Most tourists don't do that. So obviously, so we got to go to a lot of places where they hadn't seen much tourists at all, I would say.
Think about how much of an impact it was for you and then for the people there too, perhaps. To see you.
Wow. We were amazed at the beginning about how the people reacted to us. Because sometimes when we set up our tents in the middle of nowhere, we could wake up in the morning, maybe someone was herding their cattle next to our camp or something. And when they noticed us, they could just stay there and they stood and looked at us for like 40 minutes straight.
Wow.
They didn't want to talk, and even if we went up to them and said hi or something, they didn't talk. They just stood there and watched us eating breakfast or putting our camp together and checking out our cars and stuff. I think in a lot of places we went to, they thought it was happening. To see us.
News going around. African villages.
And in this one place, it took us a few hours to drive. I would say maybe 2 or 3 kilometers. We were going really slow because there was practically no road. And during the whole time, every village we passed, people joined us and just walked by us and looked at us while we were driving. So at the end, there were maybe 50 or 60 people just following the cars, looking at the spectacle.
Wow.
You're looking at animals. Yeah. They're looking at you. Speaking of looking at animals, I assume that you were extremely excited about doing some photography and taking advantage of Africa and that opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. That was one of the goals I had with the trip, was to take a lot of photos. And I had some plan before I left that I wanted to take a lot of photos, and if the photos turned out great, maybe I would do a photo exhibition when I got back home. So I was thinking about photography a lot. And there were a lot of chances to photograph animals. There were animals, well, not all the time, but...
pretty much.
We passed a lot of game reserves, and even when we were camping, we had some encounters with wildlife, and lots of encounters with locals, and a lot of scenery-wise opportunities.
Packing for a trip like this, I know that you have, like, actual camera gear, since you do this professionally. How did you manage to pack? What was that like?
You know? And what did you pack?
That was technically my question. Thanks for clarifying.
Going on a trip like this, you have, like, your seat in the car. And in the back of the car, there is, like, a small drawer that was built into the car. And that's where all your stuff has to go. So you can't have anything that doesn't fit in this compartment. And the compartment is, I would say it's about size of a carry-on bag. And that's all you're going to need for the 3 months you have to fit in this space. So obviously my camera gear took up like half of it. My sleeping bag and my pillow took up like one third, and the rest of the space was like, I don't know, two t-shirts and a toothbrush.
Because priorities.
Yeah, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it just hit me, if you were out driving and camping so much, how did you charge your camera?
First of all, I brought more than one battery.
Yeah, of course.
And then we had like a way to plug in a charger in the car. Mm-hmm. So as long as the car was running, you could actually charge your camera and your phone.
Okay.
So that was never an issue. Yeah. But otherwise, you would just had to bring a lot of batteries. And
that's the third.
Yeah. And you know, sooner or later, you do come to a place where you can charge the batteries.
I have had the privilege of sitting with you after you got back. We drank a little wine. We sat. I looked at pictures on your iPad that you had taken. And while we were sitting there, I mean, scrolling from picture to picture, and I got to hear a bunch of stories, which was really cool. But I was crying as I was looking at the pictures because they were amazing.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, so beautiful. You haven't seen them, Lena.
I haven't. And I'm thinking, is there going to be a chance for me to see them?
Yes, there is.
Yeah?
Since you live in Uppsala, there's a chance on Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday the 14th, I think. Then that's when my photo exhibition will start. Downtown Uppsala, there's like a place practically where we work, and they have like different kind of courses there, and so it's possible for people to go into their hallway. This is where I the photo exhibition, and it's about 15 or so photos that I have printed out in big size and hung on the walls. Yeah,
that's exciting. So, if you happen to not be in Uppsala or Sweden, will there be a different way to be able to see these pictures? Because I'm really curious, and I've just heard like amazing stuff about them, so I'm like dying to see them. And when people are listening to this, they're like, I want to see the pictures.
Exactly.
So do you have any other like thoughts of what to do with them? Are you selling them? Are you?
Yeah. Actually, I am. Just last night, I launched my new website. And my new web shop where you can buy prints,
which is
naturebyandreas.se.
Oh yeah.
Check so that out.
Yes, please. So you can buy prints there, and also I'm going to launch a Kickstarter campaign for my photo book. Yeah, so it's going to be a photo book. Yeah, I hope so. And it's going to be called 100 Memories from Africa. And the book will feature the 100 images that I think is the strongest, the best ones.
Wow, I really like the idea.
Yeah. I know. Really exciting. Talk about inspiration. I told Andreas today, I didn't tell you this yesterday, I started thinking, ooh, perhaps I should start picking up my book again. Or something. And I mean,
the book that I started/want to write
in whatever form. Exactly, that I want to write. Thank you for clarifying that. But I mean, I've been watching Andreas and talking with him about all of this stuff and everything. And I think that it inspires me. You know, I have stuff. Why can't something I can, of course. It's just for me to get off my ass and do something. It's so inspiring. I mean, see, I get so much inspiration, not just from looking at the pictures, but your drive, your motivation, truly.
Really, I'm glad to hear.
Yeah.
It's great to hear.
And I really love the whole idea of to combine all these different hobbies, like traveling, photography, and also to do magic. And then to, because you have experienced this trip, we haven't.
Right.
And we will never experience the trip that you did. And we're not you. But to be able to get a piece of that through your camera lens, which is then a picture that you have printed out, and then to be able to hear the stories and to share that, and that inspires me to go not on exactly the same trip, because it won't be, right. But to explore the world and then to do something about it. Whether it is like new knowledge that I received during the trip and share that with other people, or a photo book as well. It's so cool that you actually do something about it too.
Yeah, it's about telling stories.
And also, it's not only for others, but it is for yourself as well. I remember when we were editing videos, and I was like, this is going to be fun to look at when we're like, I don't know, way older than now, or just perhaps a year from now, or next month, or whatever. It's like,
Or both.
So it's a way to remember things too and relive them.
Yeah, for sure.
So you have a lot of things going up. You have an exhibition coming up starting this coming Sunday, the 14th of May.
Yeah.
You have launched a website, Nature by Andreas.se.
That's right.
You have registered for Kickstarter.
Yes.
Can you explain a little bit what that is for those who don't know, who perhaps want to help?
All right. Of course. So Kickstarter is a site where you can basically fund a project. So in my case, you can pre-book the book at Kickstarter, and I have a funding goal, and if the funding goal is met, the campaign is a success, and I will get funding to print book and ship the book to everyone who pre-booked it.
Cool.
Yeah, and if the funding goal isn't met, no one will be charged anything.
That's a great idea. So can you find that on your website as well?
I will blast it out in social media and on my website. Yeah,
I'm thinking that when I after we're done and we have edited this podcast and, you know, we put the stuff out on the blog, of course, I'll be putting a link to your website and everything.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
very kind.
So that all of you can go in and look at photos in the web shop.
Cool.
Buy some. Yeah.
We'll even make sure to make some sort of deal for everyone who's listening.
So you have to stay tuned and keep a lookout on everything. You have done so much and made so many decisions or set so many goals, and then you work toward them and you check that off, and then you go to the next goal and you check that off. You already have that other project with your friend on the way, you know, and working on that. I'm wondering if you have any type of
spare time
that I know you don't have. Yeah, what do you do? Okay, so two questions. What do you do in spare time if you have it?
Of course, I have spare time. I think I work very intensely in periods, and then maybe I take a day or two and I just watch Netflix and eat pizza for an entire day while I simultaneously think about stuff. So it's an ongoing process. You can't turn it off. But I do have a spare time, and everywhere when I travel, and when I enjoy the outdoors, when I go hiking in the mountains or something, you get a lot of offline time.
So do you have any sort of motto, philosophy, thought about how you want to live your life?
This is a tough one. I think I have two things that drives me. One is that I want to be the best Andreas I can be. One of my one of the things that drives me is that I want to be a better person. I want to learn new stuff, learn new skills, and be better at what I do. And I think the other one is when I'm like 100 years old and I'm sitting in a retirement home somewhere, I want to look back at my life and don't regret anything.
Right.
So I want to have like a huge photo album, and I just want to sit there all day and tell stories about all the cool stuff that I've done, and be happy about living a full life. So I think those are the two things that drive me, and for me, everything I do is towards those goals in some way.
Right.
They may not make sense to other people, but they do to me.
Yeah.
So that's probably what drives me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you can call it a philosophy or something, but...
It's your philosophy.
Yeah, it's my philosophy.
I don't
philosophy,
have a specific definition of philosophy, so...
Mm-hmm.
How you see life. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Lastly, do you have any good tips for those who are listening to this podcast?
I think it's about making up your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And like taking charge of yourself
and
set the goal and a deadline and work towards that.
One of the things that I think is going to stick with me that you have just said is that you want to be the best Andreas.
Yeah.
And that's cool. So if I could sum up any kind of like tip from you, that is what it is, because it's about being the best person that we decide we want to be. And as you just said, it looks different for everybody. And once you've like zeroed in on who you are, perhaps, then to live that out is going to lead you to make changes.
And also to explore different things around you in life to see what you would like to focus on.
Right.
But we want to thank you,
yes,
Andreas, so much for sharing your experiences and your upcoming projects and inspire us.
Totally. And we don't want for all of you out there to forget to check out Andreas online, and we'll give you all the links and everything.
Awesome. Thank you very much for having me. And I really appreciate coming here and talking to you guys. And I want to give you something as well. So when my photo exhibition is over, I want you to come by and pick out any photo that you want, and it's all yours.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
That is so kind.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
Oh my goodness. All right then.
Yeah.
I'm all inspired on a Monday night.
I know. How awesome is that?
I know. That feels good.
Let's
good way to
kick
start
ass.
The week.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Andreas.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.